So let me tell you a little bit about what's going on. This month, we are in the middle of a sermon series we're calling Miracles. And we have seen some amazing things going on here at Grace Point over the last several months. And really, it's just an opportunity for us to highlight those things and to encourage all of us to continue to pray and continue to believe the Lord and continue to trust Scripture. And so I asked Victoria to come up today. She loves being in front of a crowd, by the way. And she agreed to do this because I love Victoria's testimony. So I want to start with this, and I'm going to sit down, and then we're going to have a conversation about this. God is our Father. God always wants to provide for us. God always knows what we need, when we need it, where we need it, how much we need. He knows it all. And as an earthly father, I get that. You want to meet every need that your kids have. But as an earthly father, it's out of my control sometimes. I can't do everything. But our Heavenly Father has the ability to take care of all of it. So if you are struggling in your finances, looking for a new job, afraid about the future, whatever it might be, maybe it's a doctor visit that you know you just can't afford that's coming up. We're going to pray about all those things this morning. We're going to ask God to show up and to work. Now, here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30. The psalmist is praying a prayer, and he says, God, I want you to do two things for me. First of all, help me not to tell a lie for the rest of my life. Sounds like some sort of fairy tale that's starting. Like, help me never tell a lie. But then he says this second one, and it's very un-American, all right? He says, God, don't make me poor, and don't make me rich, but just meet my needs every day. He said, because if you make me rich, I might start thinking this is about me, and I might forget about you, God. But if you make me poor, I might go out and steal something because I forgot that you're God. So he said, just meet my needs every day. So this is not about get rich. This is not about driving a fancier car. None of that stuff. This is about what are the needs and what is God calling me to do? What is God asking me to do in my life? And with everything he asked me to do, he provides what I need. And so if you're struggling in your finances, and if you're normal, you've been there. You've been there. And you might have been there recently, all right? So this message is not about God making us rich. This is about God meeting our needs and us being able to trust him as our Heavenly Father. Now, sometimes trust is not just about, God, I trust that you're going to give me what I'm asking for. Sometimes trust is, God, I trust you to know what the future looks like, and I trust you to work this out according to your plan. I trust you that you have more wisdom than I do. And so it just means, it's like when my kids were little and I would stand them on the kitchen counter and I would back halfway across the kitchen and I would say, jump. And without even thinking, they would jump. Sometimes before I even said jump, they were in the air flying because they had so much trust. Now, I have since remedied that. They don't trust me with everything anymore, all right? They figured out Dad is human, all right? But our Heavenly Father is asking us to trust him, to launch out and trust him in this process. So Victoria, again, can we welcome Victoria and thank her for being here today? Amen. Amen. Victoria is a big part of everything that goes on around here. Victoria is has been for years a leader in Celebrate Recovery. She's led teams, different teams, ministry teams here at Grace Point, and just a person that I think highly of and I trust. And I'm glad that she agreed to do that this morning, to share this with us. So, Victoria, we're just going to start off. Tell us about your background, your past, before you met Jesus. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, is this on? Okay. I actually accepted Jesus in my heart when I was probably like between 6 and 8. I'm always confused on when it was. But our family really didn't go to church. My grandparents did, but they would always take us to the summer church camps and things like that. And a lady during one of those church camps asked me if I want to accept Jesus, and I accepted Jesus with her as a little kid. And I've been so grateful for that because that's what helped me endure the whole rest of my life and constantly having a desire to know Jesus, and then didn't even know why until I remembered that time in the park accepting Jesus into my heart. What else do you want to know?
Well, then what happened, and you as an adult, you really surrendered your life to the Lord. What happened in between there?
So as I got older, I definitely strayed away. As a teenager, I ran away from home and thought I could do the world on my own. I thought that, you know, men were the answer to all of my problems. I didn't know my worth. I didn't know what salvation looked like. And I really struggled just trying to find my place. And I didn't know who God was, but I knew I needed to seek him. And I kept trying to be baptized multiple times. And I went through the Catholic Church because that's all our family knew. And I got really close. And then they were like, well, you're living in sin, so we can't baptize you. And I was crushed because my son was getting baptized. And I had to watch this bittersweet moment. But my friend who came to this church was getting baptized. And I asked her, you know, can I come with you to church? And she let me, you know, I came with her. And a month later from coming here, I got baptized. I was no longer living in sin, just so you know. But a month later, I got baptized here. And I was so grateful that God did not allow me to get baptized that 2 years before, because I was not ready to walk in Christ yet. And so sometimes for me, the answer is wait or no, because he knows my heart was just not ready to truly surrender. I didn't even know what that looked like.
Yeah. Jody and I have watched you grow. How long has it been since you surrendered your heart to the Lord and really got involved here at Grace Point?
Well, I came here in 2014, I think it was. Yeah, and it took probably close to a year, because even when I came, I was in a relationship and things were really hard. But luckily, my friend introduced me to Helen, who just did not stop inviting me to gig. And it was through gig. I didn't know anything in the Bible. I've never read the Bible. And it was through coming here, first of all. It was coming here and having you guys preach the Bible in a way that I could understand it. Because when I would go to the other churches, it was such a theological conversation that my brain just didn't know what to do. But I learned a special prayer was, Lord, whatever you have for me to hear, please open my ears to receive it. Yeah. And but coming here, it was just like every time God was talking to me and I can understand the Bible. And even to this day, I tell people, well, I haven't read the Bible all the way through, but through the sermons and through our small groups and through CR and through every aspect of me just trying to get closer to God, there's been reading of the Bible and getting closer to God and hearing his word. So when I go and do this chronological order, I'm like, oh, I have read this. Oh, I have read that. I do know that, you know. So I've done more than I actually knew that I didn't know at the Bible. And it's through that provision from being here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Everybody has a, everybody who is a believer has a Helen in their life that pushed them. And annoyed them. Right? I mean, we all have that person in our life. If you're walking with Christ, you had somebody that was like, hey, come on. And come to church. And you're like, I don't need it. I don't need it. Leave me alone. And they kept, they because they loved you, they kept pushing. So if you're that person that's away from the Lord right now, and that person in your life is constantly saying to you, come to church, I got a Bible study, hey, can I pray with you? And they're pushing, listen, it's all out of love. They're not doing it because they think you're bad. They're doing it because they love you. That's it. That's the only reason. So so then how did your life look financially before you surrendered your heart life to the Lord?
So before I started coming to church, my life was living not even check to check. It was like I was still trying to pay bills from last month with the new month. So, I mean, I was just constantly in debt. Our actual budget, before I even really knew what a budget was making sure to come here on Wednesdays, because back then we had pizza and the kids would eat pizza here, going to Thursday church because I knew there was a meal there. If somebody was having a party, I knew, okay, that was going to be included in our week to feed them. You make sure you eat breakfast at school, make sure you eat lunch at school, because all of those things were included in making sure that my kids got fed. I've had my car repossessed a couple of times, was on the verge of losing my apartment. I had like 5 credit cards and loans, did all the stuff to try to get out of debt and gotten more debt. But when I started to come here and we started talking about planting seeds, like, I mean, you just heard where I was at, but I started to tithe, and I didn't even know how that was going to work with not having even money already, but I still started to tithe. And later on, one of my friends here was like, well, you're tithing. You know, you can just tell God, I'm tithing, Lord, and you promise, and you said you'll do this. And I'm like, I will never talk to God like that.
You're like, we don't know each other that well yet.
Yeah. But they needed school closed 1 year after that. And I remember them saying that. And I still was sitting in the back of the room. I hadn't made it to the front yet. And I was sitting back there, and I just kind of was like, God, I know I'm tithing and I really need your help. Like, it was just like just me and him pleading. And I remember going to work the next day, and I had all these cards on my desk, and all the lady, they were just like, we're mothers and we're friends and we're sisters. And it was Visa gift cards and cash and everything. And I was able to go and get my kids clothes for school. So.
You know, we've been praying for provision, and this is not about tithing, but it is such a huge part. Mm-hmm. It does connect so deeply. And we know that God provides for us, but there's some things he asks us to do as well. So go forward a little bit and talk about when you really surrendered your finances to the Lord and you really started trusting him with that, and what has happened since then.
So I was blessed that God brought Financial Peace University here to the church. And
so let me give a quick Financial Peace. We don't, it's not something we do all the time, but it's something we do kind of as needed. It helps people get out of debt. It's a program. It runs for what, 3 months, 4 months, something like that. And it helps people get out of debt, develop a budget, start living within their means, start giving, all those things. And we have multiple testimonies of people's lives being miraculously changed financially. Because we all know that if no matter what list you look at of marriage and family stresses, the things that cause stress in our families and marriages, finances is always at the top of the list. It's like number one or number two. And when you're having financial trouble and one spouse stops at Whataburger today, I mean, it's almost a divorce. I mean, it's like, you spent $8? Are you kidding me? I mean, we're barely hanging on here. And fights and all that stuff. Jody and I have been through a few of that back in the day. So Financial Peace is a huge part of the puzzle in all of this. And we can talk more about that later. But anyway.
So when they brought it here, it was also, it cost like $100. I'm like, well, I don't even have $100, but I was really in a place where I wanted I wanted to change our lives. I was single mom, 3 kids, and so I was ready just to give that. I didn't know that was like a step of faith, but that's what it was. But the pivotal moment in Financial Peace was, they talked about changing your family tree. Like, he just constantly talked about, you can change your family tree and change your family tree. And I remember after the video was over, one lesson, and I turned to Frank and I was just like, I don't know, this is making me emotional. And he understood, because that was our family lineage, is, you know, get in a house, lose it, live check to check, live no security, stress about money. And even then, I thought that changing my family tree was just about money, and it is so much bigger than that. God has done so much more. But once I got in there and I started creating the budget, it was actually hard, because the people that I usually would go back and forth with money, and I had to explain, like, it's not in the budget, you know, they would get upset with me. But God gave me the strength to stick to it. And I remember, like, food was never in my budget. It was like, let's pay the bills and hopefully we ate, as you probably heard. And when we did this budget, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to put everything on there. And I knew I was going to go to school, so I even put internet on there with the hope, you know. And I put kids' clothes. I just put all this stuff, you know, and put it there. And I remember one day I was driving with either Andrew or Javier, one of them, and they were like, "Mom, I need some pants." And for a moment I was like, "I don't know what we're going to do." And then I went to the app and I looked. I was like, man, I put money in there for that, you know. And we went to the store and shopped without guilt, shopped without fear. It was the best piece I've ever had in my life, because before it was always something had to not get paid, you know. And this time we were able to do it. And there's multiple times when it came to that budget, because I need accountability. And being single, I didn't have any way of having that. And having this paper that showed me where my money was going and actually sticking to it and saying, this is named this and this is named that, it was a freedom for me. And I had somebody tell me, yeah, when you do a budget, it's selfish. But what I learned, I was selfish before I had the budget, because my budget before was going to the men that I thought I needed, or going to the life I thought I needed to have, or the things that I wanted. And all along, I was neglecting my children and not taking care of them. So when I finally did the budget and God helped me stick to it, that's when I knew I wasn't being selfish.
Amen. Yeah. A budget is probably the least selfish thing you can do, because you don't get what you want.
Yeah.
You get what is needed. That's so good. So can you give us some specific instances of how God has provided for you over the last several years?
Mm-hmm. So I have like two favorite ones. Mm-hmm. So the first one is my son Javier. He was invited to go to LEAD. And there's a whole long story with that, but LEAD cost about $10,000. And they said, oh, yeah.
LEAD is a Christian college discipleship program that our church has worked with for years. And it's a 9-month program, and it's very expensive. Anyway.
Yeah. And I was very prideful and didn't want to do a GoFundMe until later I realized that's how all the kids usually got it paid for.
Yeah.
But my son's faith was so strong in that moment. He's like, Mom, I'm going. This is when I'm leaving. And I'm just like, let's go fill out these college forms and do online, you know, just in case, because I really didn't know how this was going to happen. And even one day I was telling Pastor, we were out here in the hall, and he's like, are you ready? Are you excited? And I'm just like, yeah. And he's like, well, you don't seem like you really want him to go. And I was like, oh, no, I want him to go. But if he's going to go, God's going to have to make a way, because I don't have it. And so he did get blessed with the $500 to get in. And then with the college money that was left over, we had like $1,000. And we did create the GoFundMe. And we had about another $500. And so I'm like, okay, we're going. I was so proud of him for his faith. But I was still just very stressed and worried. And so I remember telling him, I was like, I know, you know, God's put envelopes in people's hands before, but I still, even when I said it, I didn't believe it would ever happen to me. And I was at work one day, and one of my old bosses had came back in town to help train. And she called me into the office, and I was scared, thinking I did something wrong. But she looked at me and she goes, from the moment that I hired you, you reminded me of me when I was young, and I always wanted to help you, but I never could because of my position. She goes, but I want to help you now. And she handed me an envelope, and it had $2,000 in it. And she told me another $2,000 will come in 2 weeks.
So it was $4,000.
So it's $4,000 total. And then money for people here just kept coming, like, just the whole time. And of course COVID happened, so we made it all the way until he didn't need money anymore.
There you go. Well, if there's no need, there's no reason for God to give it, huh? That's good.
That was like, it was so amazing, because what I was sharing with Pastor is at that time, I already had surrendered men and sexual immorality to God, and I had just started, you know, going out with Julio, and we kind of started bringing him over, and, you know, we just said, oh, he's just spending the night or whatever, living a lie. And I was in a step study, and I had to pray, because I knew I was going further away from God because my heart was hurting, and I shared it in there. And then luckily, you know, I got a phone call from somebody probably named Helen. And it was the nicest conversation I've ever had with Helen, in all honesty. She was like, she cared about me, and she told me it's okay. She goes, somebody told me it's okay to go backwards. And I'm like, I was so confused at that. And she's not, she didn't mean that. She goes, you started a relationship and you're moving too fast. It's okay to go back to be where you're at. And so at that moment, I had to go home. And we and Julio had a lot of conversations about God already in my path. But I had to walk in this faith and trust God that he has the man for me. And if I tell Julio he needed to leave and he decided we weren't going to be together, it was okay. And I went home. It was really hard. We had a conversation and we both cried. And then he went home and it was the best friendship we ever had before we got married. I never had a friendship before marriage or before a relationship. Yeah. Wow. But the reason I tell you that story is because that decision was made the Friday before the Monday that that money was handed to me.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. There was some out there. I heard that. Yeah. Well, and I think that kind of leads us to the next thing is God wants to bless us, but he wants us to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And I believe that there are a lot of times when people don't have what they need because they're not really surrendered to God. Because God is after your heart more than he is your money.
Yeah.
He wants to get to your heart, and he's providing and he's working. But he wants to get down deep. He wants to change things in our heart and in our life. So, Victoria, you've moved up where you work. You've moved up over the last several years. You're in a job now that you really shouldn't have,
right? That's
right. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So, I'm actually a surgery coordinator, scrub tech. And the story is amazing because I am a big procrastinator. My memory is bad. My grammar is horrible. My handwriting is bad. You know, they're like, there is no reason I should be where I am. It's only by the grace of God that I am there. Yeah. But God obviously blessed me with my job. I worked for an optometrist for 8 years, and then he passed away from cancer. And then I had to start looking for a job, and it was like looking for a job from scratch because all real techs did a lot more than what I was doing for an optometrist. And so the boss that I told you about, we did our interview, and I was going in there and hiring just for entry-level position and ready to take a pay cut and trust God for this year because she told me the future of how I could grow. And I was like, okay, we can do this for a year, and there's future. And when I came back for my hire date, or the day of my start date, she called me into the office and she said, I just knew you were going to get bored in that closet and I'm going to go ahead and just start training you straight as a technician. So that was the first miracle. And then through that job, I learned how to scribe and I got on the counseling team and testing tech position. And then I've been praying to work close to home for a long time. And I had to leave this job after almost 8 years. And I got hired here at Tylock George's office as a tech. And my thought was just, I needed just to go in here and tech and not do anything else. And as soon as I got in there, my boss started telling me, I want you to work close beside me. You know, I want you to help me to do these things. She's like, it's time. And when she said it's time, like that really stuck in my head. And I didn't know why at the time. But they opened a position for somebody to learn how to be a backup surgery flow tech, not even scrub in yet, but just learn. And so with the leap of faith, I took that application and they let me do it. It was really hard, but it was good. Well, in the middle of all of that, my son started struggling with suicidal thoughts and I got a phone call about it. And I went through this with my daughter and it just shook me a whole lot. I started just going into mom mode. How can I fix this? What do I need to do? What do I need to get rid of? How can I be there for him? And so my mom mode said, okay, forget the surgery tech job. Let me just be a tech so I don't have to have any stress and I can handle the stress at home. And I just want you to know sometimes provision is people praying for you prayers you don't want them to pray. Because I came to my dear friend here, and I was telling her what's going on and the decisions that I was trying to make, and she was talking to me, and she goes, I understand this, but sometimes you still have to look out for the things you need to do. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? You're supposed to understand what I'm going through and tell me it's okay, you know? And she prayed, and she prayed for God's will, and even I was praying for God's will. And I went back to my bosses after they let me take time off and paid me for the time off. I didn't even have vacation, but they still paid me. And he told me, he's like, look, I'm willing to work with you. If I need to wait a month, I so hate for you to lose all this training you just got, you know, but if you really want to step down, you can. And all of a sudden I'm just like, well, if I'm black and white, if you have this gray area, I'm all for it. And he didn't even say nothing. It was me that goes, well, how about I just be totally a surgery tech? And I'm like, why would I say this? Like, this was Holy Spirit, because that's all the things I don't know how to do that would be stressful. And he's like, we can do it. And we were just going to try it for 2 weeks. We did it for 2 weeks, and I've never gone back. I totally got promoted. I got promoted. I got a raise. And it wasn't even the money. The money was like, that was God's love for me. Like, I'm going to keep you sustaining you for the rest of your life. I'm going to make sure you have what you need. But at the same time, he still knew my heart. I needed peace in that moment. And he took me from all the actual chaos that was out in the teching area and put me in an area where I can just be by myself with people that were calm. And I was like, man, he just blessed my life and gave me the peace I needed to handle the life at home. Like, it was just so amazing. And then that year, I got an annual bonus. That I've never had an annual bonus. Always had a Christmas bonus, but I was just in tears when I got it, and I was like, sent money, you know, to my husband. I was like, when I bonus, we bonus, and we paid our tithes, and we helped our family, and Christmas, it was the most amazing thing that I've ever felt in my life. So.
Amen. Amen. I just think it's amazing when, I mean, you're saying all these things, like your grammar and whatever, but anybody who served God and walked with God in surrender for any length of time knows they've been blessed far beyond their ability. Mm-hmm. And most of us who've walked with the Lord know that God promotes us beyond our abilities. It's always a beautiful thing to me. Several years ago, we were talking about tithing one Sunday morning, and a young lady who worked at an entry-level job, very little money on this job. And she came, I think, to Jody and I after church one Sunday morning. She's just sobbing. And she said, I started tithing like you said, the Bible said. And God just gave me a job, and I make $800 a week. Now, to some of you, $800 a week might not be enough. You'd be like, I'd be broke on $800. But to her, it was so much more than she'd ever seen before, and that God had taken her to the next level. And God blesses us along the way, and so it makes me happy always to see people who are faithful who get promoted because of their faithfulness. And God is the one who provides the promotions. And so,
can I share one thing?
Yeah.
So just to share again on the other side of that, before all of this happened, you know, I got married, and we haven't gone through financial peace together yet, so we're still working on this. But I tell him, you know, how much the bills are. He gives me all his money, and I would tithe.
Yes.
But I would constantly have been talking to him about tithing, and that's something that we're working on. But whatever he would give me, I would tithe on myself. And before all of this happened with my son and the raise, like literally not too far before it, I just heard God speaking to me, you know, if he's not going to tithe, then what's holding me back from trusting God? And so I was like, just tell me how much your check is. We're going to tithe it all. And so I really believe like in planting those seeds and trusting God with everything. And that's why he continues. I mean, not like you do this and he does that, you know, right. But definitely the obedience of it. I knew in my heart, I believe totally in tithing and the provision of God. And so that just stuck with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I believe that a part of that whole equation is that we start to, God's trying to get to our heart.
Yeah.
He's trying to get to our heart. And most of us hold our money very close to our heart. And when he gets to that, then he's getting to the root of everything that's going on in our lives. Mm-hmm. And when we trust him, most of us, when we trust him with our money, we're trusting him with every part of our life. Yeah. And because we're told, we live in America, work hard and you'll make the money, live the American dream, all that stuff. Listen, the American dream doesn't work in Nigeria, all right? But biblical principles work everywhere around the world, all right? So we're not basing anything on the economy or our abilities. It's all on, let's surrender to God and let him have access to every part of our lives. Let him just work down deep in our hearts and let him do the work that he wants to do. And so a huge part of this is just surrender. So, Victoria, I'm going to ask you one more question, then we'll let you go. A couple of things that you believe are biblical principles that help you with your finances, help y'all with your finances on a daily basis. Can you give us a couple things? I know you said tithing, and that's a big one. And then go ahead.
So just like, you mean like just honoring God with, that's the one thing that I really did learn from Financial Peace was that none of the money I receive is mine. It's all God's, and everything that he gives me is his. Amen. So that's why I think tithing came so easily. But when you say biblical principles, you're confusing me, but I just know I just trust God and I want to do his will and I want to honor him with my money. And just like that prayer you said, you know, I'm not rich because God knows I can't handle that yet, but he does give me enough for our family, for us to bless them and also to bless others now. Like the fields have definitely changed from the time of when the church was helping me and when, you know, we're getting food from the food bank to now being able to give food to other people and just to know that God blesses us to be a blessing. Our doors are here to be open for other people. And that's what I truly believe. And I just want to share that my life was really, really broken. I didn't know how to handle money. I didn't know how to be a mom. Didn't know my worth, and the provision, the money came way later, but how God provided for me, even in the waiting for this money to come, for me to be a blessing to somebody else financially, he blessed me with this church because, like I said, I didn't know how to love my kids, and he put women in their lives that could cheer them on, that could hug on them, that could love them. My boys, I didn't know. I would always say, oh, I'm mom and dad. But then I had to realize, no, God made me be a mom. And then he provided me with men to come in and pour into my kids and to encourage them. And then he also offered me a safe place to come here and learn how to get out of all of my defects and how to surrender my life to him so that when he did finally, you know, was able to bless me with money, he knew that I could handle that. He knew that I would use it for his kingdom. He knew it wouldn't be something I'm just holding on to for myself and then run off and think I did anything, because there is no way I would be here without God and without the provision of the people that he put in my life to protect me, to encourage me, and to provide for my kids and to encourage them.
Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
If I could just give a word of encouragement, just having Bible study from this room over to the side 8 years ago and watching you and hearing your story, and we call it next step. What's your next step here? But the really wonderful thing, Victoria, is that you've literally taken a next step consistently. And you've never stopped. And you're at a place now in your walk with the Lord that you trust him with your finances, but you're pouring into other people. Amen. Now. And God never gives us something without expecting us to pour it out, without wanting us to pour it out. And I just, as as a friend, just want to say thank you for just taking everything that Helen has poured into you, that the church, that your Bible study, your personal time, that as God has filled you up, you are literally, you just graduated how many women from your recent step study that you led?
We were a total of 9.
She just did a step study. I know, it's amazing. Through Celebrate Recovery, a 9-month commitment for these women and a 9-month commitment to Victoria to lead it. And she led it. These women graduated and have taken their next step. So I can imagine that you would ask everyone today, what's your next step? And where are you? Amen. Because you've seen God bless Amen. You with every step. And thank you for that. Thank Amen. You so Very much.
I was thinking back to the scripture of when God provided for different people and God provided for the Israelites. He provided manna from heaven. He just miraculously provided it every morning. At one point, Jesus was having a conversation with somebody about taxes, and he said, go catch a fish and open that fish's mouth and take out the coins and go pay our taxes. And that's what happened. I mean, it was a miraculous moment. God provided a ram for Abraham so he wouldn't have to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And I think, Victoria, you're on that list. God provided for all them, and God's provided for you and us and everybody who trusts him. And so thank you for sharing with us today. Can we give Victoria a hand as she goes down? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Will you give me 5 minutes more to talk with you? I want to share this scripture with you. This is Jesus talking in Matthew. Let's take a look. Matthew 25, chapter 6, verse 25. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. All right. See, for most of us, that's enough sermon. We can go home right now. Like, stop worrying. This is what Jesus said. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, don't worry. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Let's look at the next scripture. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Now look at the next verse. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Now watch the next verse. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. That's important. He's talking about people who don't follow Christ. He said these things, these worries, dominate the thoughts of people who don't follow Christ, unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now that last verse is the most important thing we're going to talk about. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. See, it's what we're talking about. God's trying to get to the heart of the matter. God could just give you money and pay your bills, and he could pay my bills, and it wouldn't cost God anything. He already owns it all. It wouldn't affect his checkbook if he just fixed everything in our lives. But that's not what he's after. He's not trying to fix everything in our lives. He's trying to get to the heart of the matter. He's trying to get to our heart. It says, seek the kingdom of God above everything else. Live righteously, and then he'll give you everything you need. He's saying, I want you to trust me. This is more than a number. It's more than a bill. It's more than a checkbook. I want to get to your heart. When I provide for you, I want to do this in a deep way. I don't want this to be surface level. I want to do something in your life. Sometimes we get focused on the number. You know, there was a time I did not even want to check the mail. I mean, you know, when all the bills came in the mail, you're like, oh man, this is going to be painful. Let's wait till tomorrow. Let's just check it tomorrow. You know, because we're focused on that little thing. I'll tell you this story and we're going to close. There was a guy who was leaving work one day. He worked in a factory. And he's rolling out a wheelbarrow, and he gets to the security shack, and the security guard says, hey, what do you have in that wheelbarrow? And he said, well, I just got a box, a little bitty box. And he said, well, what's in the box? And he said, well, it's full of sawdust. I was sweeping up today, and I needed a little sawdust at home, so I put some in a box, and I'm taking it to my car. And he's like, that's weird, but okay. Next day, guy comes out with a wheelbarrow, same little box. He says, open the box. He stirs it around. More sawdust. This happens day after day after day. Finally, several days pass, and the security guard says to him, I'm not going to get you in trouble, but I know you got to be stealing something, and I just can't figure out what you're doing. So if you'll just tell me what you're stealing, I won't tell anybody. So what are you stealing? And the guy said, I've been stealing wheelbarrows. We get so focused on the sawdust that we forget that God wants to bless us in wheelbarrows, that God wants to work in our lives, but we get so caught up in this little thing. I love Victoria's story because God provided financially, but more than that, you heard her say, and I didn't coach her to say that. You heard her say it changed her life. She learned how to be a mother. She learned how to take care of life. She started growing. And of course, the thing you focus on is how we're going to pay. How we're going to pay the bills. How we're going to do this. How we're going to provide. You know, and it all, we look ourselves in the mirror and we know we're not enough. But the whole time God's preparing us and God's developing us and God's guiding us. He wants us to seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And then all these other things he'll give us and he'll help us with. But we got to trust him because God's trying to get to our heart. So in just a minute, we're going to close. But before we do, I want us to pray about this one thing. God, I want to surrender my heart. I know I need you to provide for the bill. I need the rent. I need the whatever. I need some help. I need your help. But Lord, I want to give you me. I want to seek first the kingdom of God. Some of us continue to make the same mistake over and over and over again because we try to just give God enough of ourselves that we're still in charge. Lord, I'm going to invite you into this electric bill, but I can't invite you into these other areas of my life. I'd like for your help with the electric bill, but I'll take care of everything else. That's not the way God works. God just wants you. He wants a relationship with you. And when he has a relationship with you, he works in every area of our lives. And he provides for us. Abraham was called to do something unimaginable, to give his son back to God. And he was willing to do it. Now that takes a relationship with God. The Israelites were provided by God. God gave them manna every day. That was a relationship that God had for them. See, God is trying to get to the heart of the matter. He wants us. He wants you. He wants me. He can provide, but he wants a relationship, and he works miracles in our life. Jody and I have a list of miracles. I mean a list of miracles over the year where God has provided for us financially. Many years ago, come on to the piano, you guys, and we're going to close. Many years ago, I was brand new in ministry, and I did not have a suit to wear to a funeral, and somebody asked me to preach my first funeral. And yet back then, you know, you had to have a black suit for a funeral. And I said, yeah, I'll preach the funeral because it was somebody that I loved. But I didn't tell them, I don't even know how in the world I'm going to buy a suit. We were so broke. We were driving a car that made more noise than semi-trucks going down the road. I mean, it was horrible. I mean, black smoke pouring out of the back of this car. It looked like at any minute it could just go poof and it just fall apart. So we didn't have anything. And I'll never forget, two people walked up to me one day, and they didn't even know what was going on. And one of them gave me $200. Now listen, $200 to me might as well have been a million, all right? And then somebody else walked up to me, and talk about envelope money. It's just handshake money. Hey, here's $40. Now this was 30 years ago. And they said, just God wanted me to do this for you. Back then, a suit was cheap. And I went and bought a suit. I've told you the story of another time where I had a friend who had a need, I mean a big need, and I couldn't help him, and I didn't know what to do, and we were just sort of praying, and God sent me and Jody a $5,000 check from somebody else. They gave it to us. And we didn't have any specific need for it in the moment. It wasn't like, oh, look at this, God's provided. It was like, you know, why did God do this? And then we realized God's trying to get us to give it to the next person down the line. God uses us all to be givers. He uses us all to do miracles in our lives. He wants our hearts, though. He wants our hearts. So if you're struggling financially, let's start with this. What do I need to surrender to God? Do I need to surrender my budget? Can we just be real, get real honest here for a minute? Do I need to surrender my eating out to Jesus? You ever looked at how much you eat out every month? And you're like, I could be living in the White House if I just didn't like... If I didn't like Popeye's chicken so much, you know? What is it? What area of my life do I need to surrender to God? Now watch this. Surrender is painful. Surrender always hurts. You know why? Because when you surrender, it means I lost. Surrender means I got nothing left. If I had any other choices, I wouldn't surrender. But I'm out of choices. So I just want to challenge you this morning. What if we say, Lord, I'm just open. Whatever you want to do, whatever it is you want to do, I'm open to it. I want you to stand with me if you will. I believe we're going to continue to see miracles. We have actually just recently people that right here that are here this morning that got a job that they were not qualified for. That they shouldn't have gotten. Somebody else should have gotten the job, but the favor of God.
Yeah.
I had somebody one time that was mad about it. You talk about that favor of God. I deserve it. I think, well, maybe you want to get on God's side every now and then and let him worry about that. I don't know. I can't fix that for you. It's just the favor of the Lord on our lives when we surrender to him. Maybe you're looking for a job today. God has the job. Maybe it's just I need to be able to handle my finances better. Maybe it's I need to surrender an area of my life. I just need to give him my heart and start to walk out this journey. Just walk it out and trust the Lord for his help. So this last prayer is just a prayer of surrender. Let's focus on the right things. Let's don't focus on sawdust. Let's focus on the wheelbarrows. Let's focus on what God's really trying to do. So if you would... If you're comfortable with it, as a sign of surrender, I just want us to lift our hands to him right now and just pray this prayer. Pray it in your own words. God, I just give it to you. I just want to surrender it to you. Lord, we thank you right now for what you're doing. We thank you, God, for what's coming. We know that you have blessed us already, God. We know you walked with us even when we didn't deserve it, God. You've been there and you've helped us. And your word tells us that the righteous have never been forsaken. And the righteous, their children don't have to beg for bread, God. That you provide. You provide. And Lord, we just pray that you would touch us today, Lord. No doubt every one of us in this room and watching online, no doubt every one of us, Lord, needs to surrender or should or can or surrender our lives a little bit more effectively to you. Lord, that we can give it over to you in an even greater way than we have, and we can let go of our pride and our arrogance and our can-do attitude and just trust you in some things, Lord, that you want to do with us and through us. Lord, we pray that there be testimonies that come out of this this prayer this morning, Lord. We pray that there'll be marriages that'll be touched and would be blessed and would be encouraged. We pray, God, that there'll be single moms and single dads that have been struggling financially, Lord, that you would help them today, God, that you would provide that job, that you would give them the job they're not qualified for, and you will qualify them along the way, God. We pray, God, that you just open the doors that need to be opened, close the doors that need to be closed. Help us, Lord, to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, Lord, and then let you do all the things that you can do and you want to do in our lives. Lord, right now, Lord, we pray for your help in this battle against fear and worry. Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we claim the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds right now, Lord. I know there are families that are worried right now about the future. The moms and dads that are worried about feeding their kids. They're consumed with it, God, and there's just no peace because of the stress. And today, Lord, we pray that the peace of God would guard hearts and guard minds in you, Lord, and that, God, we would see you at work. We would see your hand, Lord, moving in our lives. And Lord, help us to seek your face and then receive from your hands, God. Help us to seek you, Lord. God, we know that we have to do our part. Faith without works is dead. God, every person who's getting up and going to work today, tomorrow, this week, next week, God, we just pray you'd bless them. We pray that they would find favor. We pray that those raises would come. We pray those bonuses would come. We pray, God, that you would provide like only you can. And God, we want to give you the glory for it, God. We don't want this just to be about us. And we don't want it to end when you take care of our need, God. We want to tell the story and encourage someone else and bring glory to your name. Lord, we just lift it all up to you today. And we just want to surrender. And we thank you, God, for what you've done. And we thank you, God, for what's coming. And we give you praise for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Lord, bless us as we go. Have your way with our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody.